Well, happy Monday, everybody. And this is your host, Nisha. At Drive Through HR, we are live on air at this moment, and we're so excited to talk to our guest. So stay tuned. We're going to talk more about globalization, generational gap, and how we can communicate with them better. So without further ado, let me welcome Chris Wakely. Hey, Chris, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and luckily we have a fantastic weather out here in Dallas, Texas, a pretty sunny day outside. So, again, thank you. Thank you for being here with us today, and I'm so good.
It's a pleasure, and I'm calling you from just outside London, and actually it's 6 p.m., it's actually a rather sunny but quite cold evening here. But, it seems like then both you and I have got good weather. It lifts the spirit.
Yeah, glad you're doing great, Chris. So, Chris, why don't you kick off the show by telling our audience who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So, hi, everyone. So, Chris Wakely is my name. So some of you may be able to tell that I wasn't born in America, so I am English born, raised in London, and I work for an organization called Thompson's Online Benefit. And what we do, so we're a software organization who specializes in what we call global benefit management and employee engagement software, and we in effect help forward-thinking organizations manage how they administer and communicate their benefit and reward plans to people around the world. And so, you know, our sort of client list reads a bit like a who's who of the world's most admired companies in terms of organizations that genuinely think about how they can use their culture to give them competitive advantage. And just a bit of background on me, I've been at Thompson's for 10 years. I spend a lot of my time on the road. So one of the challenges of working with fantastic global businesses is they're global, so you have to travel. And I'm married with two young children, Casper and Luca, who are 4 and 2.5. So that keeps me busy when I'm not on the road out with our clients. But very happy to be here.
Oh, good to hear that, Chris. Well, that takes me to my next question. That is, what's keeping you up at night? We know that your kids are awesome out there, but then when it comes to HR industry, what's keeping you up at night?
Yes. So, and I would say, but thank goodness my children are good sleepers. So anyone who has children that aren't good sleepers, I feel for you. But on another, so what's keeping our clients up at night? So for us, really, and you know, again, it's sort of ever evolving. But one of the things that we're seeing is more and more multinational organizations, whereas, you know, a few years ago they may have been multinational, but they've sort of evolved and left decisions to be made in local regions. We're seeing more and more organizations want to globalize the way in which they're managing their systems and processes. You know, it gives them greater efficiency, it reduces their risk, it enables them to have better governance. So then from a reward and benefits perspective, you know, and those are generally speaking the individuals that we're working with, global benefits leaders and decision makers, what keeps them up at night is, well, most times it's things like, how can I, not only do I have a global challenge in that actually I have a wide range of different countries that I need to communicate and manage messages to and also administer how things work, but also now more than ever, I've got, you know, a wide range of different generations in the workplace, all of whom will have different needs and desires, you know, from people who are perhaps, you know, nearing retirement through to now what we call the millennials, you know, who have, you know, a use to the internet age, have a different way and means of actually soaking up information and slightly different attitude actually to the workplace. So I would say for those people, you know, the big challenge is they're being asked by their decision makers or their business leaders, you know, tell us about how much we're spending on benefits and reward in Asia Pacific, in Japan specifically. And those answers aren't readily to hand because information is, you know, split and distributed across a wide range of different bits and pieces across a wide range of different organizations. So it's, you know, it's hard to get at. So those are typically the types of things that we're seeing that are sort of challenging people in global benefit, reward, and compensation roles.
Oh, absolutely. Because when we consider a multinational organization, employees are, you know, they have employees that spread across the nation, spread across the world. And for example, right now, you and I, we are at different time zones at this point of time itself, right? So what if they have thousands of employees wherein people are working in different time zones and wherein they have to have a good communication system based on, be it benefit management or just human resource management system, very particularly. Chris, it would be great if you can talk a little more about what are some of the challenges that you have been hearing from your clients when it comes to managing global level workforce.
Yeah, so, well, one of the first things is that, and this is what makes the world such a wonderful place, is that, you know, every country, every culture, you know, you've got a wide range of different religions in countries. They're all different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can't pigeonhole people or communicate with people in the same way. So actually, correct, you know, one of the things certainly that we've seen regards software, and this also has been, you know, it's been great that this is almost aligned with the fact that more and more organizations are wanting to globalize the way that they communicate things, is actually certainly from a software perspective, which is obviously where I come at things from, is the explosion in really things around the usage of smartphones and tablets. And also the ability, and also the want for people to actually consume information through a device and over the internet, even in what you might call emerging markets. So actually, a good example of that is retail. So for example, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, we didn't really have any what you might call global retail clients, because actually they're in effect saying to us, hey, Chris, we'd love to be able to communicate reward and benefit message to all our people around the world, to have a consistent onboarding program, to make sure that we're administering and automating, you know, how we do these sorts of things. But hey, we're a retail business. Every one of our employees, or at least most of them, work in stores. So software doesn't really help us, because, you know, how can they get at it? Whereas now, if you look at the surveys that we produce, or that the business is produced, you know, it's often in the sort of high 90s in terms of percentage of people that actually would rather consume information through their mobile device than paper. And even, as I say, in emerging markets, this is true. So actually, software and the use of it, you can actually access people much more easily using technology than you could just 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, a great example of that, we have a client. We've just gone live with in a manufacturing facility in the middle of Brazil, in Manaus, on the Amazon. And actually, again, you know, even 3 years ago, they might have said, well, look, we'd rather use paper and traditional forms of communication, whereas actually now, even in that type of market, people are used to consuming and using devices to, you know, be communicated with and enroll in stuff. So it's been a big change in the way in which, you know, people do interact with the organizations they work with, which I think really helps globalization.
Absolutely. And to your point, yeah, it is true. Irrespective of the generations, you know, we need communication in real time. For example, if you say sales employees, or as you said, retail employees, they don't have the time to get back to their office, sit in front of the computer and search for that email about their benefits plan or whatever the communication HR wanted to communicate to them. But if they are getting a hint of message through their mobile phone, it's just a matter of click of a button, right? So
it's important information is delivered fluidly, so as it happens, and that's, you know, we call it, I mean, again, it sounds like an old term now, but we used to this will show the pace of technology. We had a client, again, we were told that whenever you deliver a message, can you please make sure that it's delivered in what we call BlackBerry short.
Hey, Chris, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, something got wrong with the Blog Talk Radio, I guess, and then they reconnected us once again, and thank you for that. I mean, thank you to them for that.
This is
technology,
this is the
right?
Example
we're talking
of sometimes
about technology.
Technology lets you down.
Absolutely, yeah. So, Chris, we were talking about the communication aspect of it and different generations would require different types of communication. But irrespective of generation, we would want our communication to be real-time and spontaneous. But if you can talk about some of the challenges in that sensitivity, because benefit communication is always sensitive, right? And we cannot just easily do that because we need to go through various aspects of the benefits and making sure people are getting the right information out there. So what do you recommend to our audience in order to fix that sensitivity?
Sure. So I think, the first thing you need is you do need a foundation to be able to actually deliver specific pertinent messages to people based on who they are or what they've done. So, a good example of that is to your earlier point. You know, we have a client who deliver commission statements to their salespeople every quarter. And actually, again, via our system, once that commission statement gets fed in, basically Darwin's the name of our software, but in effect it sends an email out to each salesperson saying your commission statement's now available to view online, which you can then view your total reward statement on your smartphone. But it's pertinent and individual to that person. And also on the basis, of course, a salesperson's on the road, they're out and about, they don't want to spend a long time doing this stuff, and so you need to get them in the now. But also you need to be sensitive to the fact that actually you don't want to be delivering messages that are too personal, for example. That can be, that's important to get the balance right. And also not wanting to overdo it. So, again, working with clients to make sure that we're not delivering too many messages, for example, and we're only delivering messages to people where it's actually relevant. And by relevant, I mean, and what's worked most successfully that we've seen, is where there's some sort of change or activity. So that commission statement being a good example, or let's say, for example, your marital status has changed for whatever reason. It might be you're moving from being single to married, or you might be moving from being married to divorce. But actually, it's at that time that you need support, really, from the organization you work for in terms of helping you actually make the right choices about what benefits are now right for you on the basis that your circumstances are different. And software isn't, the complete answer to that, but software can certainly help you make sure the right messages get to the right people at the right time, rather than this sort of one-size-fits-all approach, which, again, especially bearing in mind the wide range of different generations, people, cultures in most multinational businesses, doesn't tend to work very well.
Correct, yeah. You're absolutely right. There is no one-size-fits-all. So we need to customize our communication. We need to personalize our communication. But yet, many of them out there, we normally use an SCM to kind of automate our messages too, right? So how much of this benefit management can we really automate?
Yeah, and that's a good point. So what you typically find in most large multinationals is at their heart, they'll have an HCM platform. And, again, one of the trends we're seeing is that a lot of organizations are moving from what you might call the traditional on-premise platform into the cloud. So, you've got a range of sort of vendors sort of leading the way, I suppose you could say. But actually, most of the time, those organizations, when they look to actually outside of that, so HCM is generally like a database, if you will, but for the transactional stuff, so things like payroll and benefits transacting, that's where, you're going to need things like local actual benefits or local expertise in terms of how information is distributed out to local carriers. So that's, again, a bit, and so businesses either decide, we're not going to do anything in this area and we're going to keep using the spreadsheets, our local broker, our global broker, might be the local HR business partner to do that sort of thing. And we realize it's not perfect, but it's not completely broken and, okay, information's hard to get at, but, it sort of works. Or businesses begin to think, actually, you know, communication is so important to us, and making sure that communication is consistent across all the different sort of businesses and countries that we have, that actually we really need to look at how we transact all this stuff. And that's, you know, that's a sort of an interesting market, obviously, that we exist in, that almost sits alongside your HCM platform in terms of you need a piece of software that, you know, has local expertise and legislation built in.
Correct, absolutely. So let's talk about, you know, the people or the members who are going to decide or take decisions about having an HCM that supports benefit management in place. Because as you said, we are talking about multinational organizations, and wherein if you have operations over here in the United States and if you have operations in Brazil, so we would definitely wanted to know some of the legal ramifications across the countries, right?
That's
so
it.
Who all should be involved in that agenda, or who all should be involved in that decision-making process? Who can be advisors, or who can be a representative from the organization?
Yeah,
What do you recommend?
So what you generally find is that, and it depends on the structure, but the most typical structure that we find is, in an organization, there's normally the head of HR operations, who most or typically speaking reports up into the CHRO, and they are more often than not sort of what you might call the main software buyer. So they're a fairly important part of the puzzle. And then certainly from a benefits and rewards standpoint, you have global benefits leaders who are actually responsible for either, you know, global benefit philosophies or actually the delivery of those benefit plans in the various countries that they're in. So it's normally a combination of those two sort of teams that put, you know, that look at how these sorts of things work. And also, actually, it becomes more important from a shared services center perspective as well. So there's normally a head of shared services in the mix too, because this is then all about a better delivery of a, you know, of a sort of benefits and reward experience to the employees around the world, which, of course, generally fits into, you know, a shared services center sort of aim around what it's designed to deliver into the multinational business. So it's usually those individuals who are responsible from a sort of central perspective. But also then, of course, what we find, because it's global, right, is there's then a wide range of local and regional sort of benefit decision makers, all of whom will need to be involved in the discussions as well, because they all need to be satisfied that it's going to meet the needs of their local requirements. You know, a good example being in the UK, there's been recent legislation, well, recent the last 2 years, where every single employer now has to automatically enroll every single one of their employees into a retirement plan. It's mandatory. And that's a huge headache for a lot of organizations to automate how that works to ensure that they're legally compliant. So again, any piece of software, you know, needs to be able to do that at a bare minimum, because that's the legal requirement. And if you don't do it, there are hefty fines, not to mention, you know, multinational embarrassment at being called out in the national press. Through to in India, a lot of organizations use what we call a flexible compensation plan, where there are certain tax efficiencies to be had from being able to deliver benefit against salary. And actually, again, any piece of software or anything that you design needs to meet those requirements as well. So, you know, you can imagine there's a wide range of sort of different mandates that one needs to sort of meet in order to ensure that it's able to deliver against not only the sort of global mandate, if you will, but the local sort of
local
complexity
mandate
too.
Yeah, absolutely. So if an organization out there, which is, of course, a multinational organization, but then they wanted to get some thoughts on benefit management and having that as a part of their employee engagement strategy, what do you recommend for them to, how much of this using HCM for benefit management will help them engage their employees across the world?
Yeah, so what we found, and again, I mean, you know, I hasten to add, there may be a bit of bias with me, but what you typically find with HCM products is that there's usually a benefits module within them, but actually they tend to be really quite US-centric, and they're not really a focus of that organization, so they tend to be a bit starved for development. So actually then if you challenge a global sort of HCM vendor on whether it will meet specific local requirements like those I've already raised, generally speaking, it won't. So that's when multinationals begin to look elsewhere for particular solutions. And also, this is a great opportunity for them, because one of the challenges they have is, if you ask a multinational or you ask a global benefit decision maker, how do you actually manage and transact all your benefits around the world at the moment? Actually, the answer in the majority of cases will be, well, actually, that's a great question, Chris, but I don't know. You know, we do it. There's a lot of stuff that might be hidden from view. You know, it's not completely broken, so I don't necessarily have to ask questions about it. But you're right, I'm being challenged by our, you know, head of audit and risk about how we do this stuff. And at the moment, I can't give them an answer because I really don't know. So that's also, you know, one of the things that we look at is, how is it you're actually doing stuff at the moment? Because what are the advantages of actually looking to systemize this and use software to actually automate how you manage the data?
Correct. So, again, talking about data, which is, again, most of the organization wanting to have that ability in their HCM to kind of know where the organization is headed by making some informed decisions, right? So what are some metrics that you would suggest to our audience when it comes to benefit management and that really impacts the organization's success?
Sure. So what you generally find, again, with multinationals is that they might use products like, you know, Mercer Gold or Aon Greater Insights or Towers Watson Bentrack to actually sort of almost hold a benefits inventory, i.e. these are all the benefits that we have around the world. That type of information isn't generally held in an HCM platform. But actually what those systems don't give them is then, well, you know, who's enrolled in these plans? How much are we spending on them? You know, how much are we spending on private medical insurance in France, for example? Usually the answer is there, but, you know, it will take a couple of weeks to get at because the local or the global broker has it, or maybe the local HR business partner has it, and the global benefits leader is never, you know, not entirely sure who that person is. So actually, again, from a sort of a global benefits perspective, being able to actually view that information, you know, over the course of the world. So I want to look at how much am I spending on my retirement plans, both in Asia Pacific and Europe. Generally speaking, that information is very, very difficult to get at unless you have a system to enable you to report on it. So then it really depends on how important is being able to access that information to you as a business. And actually that's one of the things that we're seeing is becoming more and more important as more and more sort of decision makers want to know this information so they can make better decisions and more timely decisions on actually that spend and what it is they're doing.
Correct, yeah. Sounds great. Well, Chris, again, thank you so much for all those insights about globalization and communicating to different groups of employees across the globe and about benefit management too. So I'm going to switch the gear a little bit and ask you some of the personal questions. Because throughout your journey, you have become such an amazing leader, successful professional, and know a lot about HR technology. So what makes you a successful person at this point of time? What were your inspiration and what drives you the most?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose the first thing is I'm quite competitive.
You are.
So, I would hasten to add, I'm not overly competitive. So I'm not one of those parents by the side of the soccer pitch, you know, shouting at the referee. You know, so I would say I take a balanced competitive view. And also, actually, you know, I'm driven by, especially, you know, I've been with Thomson's for 10 years, and prior to that I was at Microsoft, where I sort of had my sort of founding learnings in what you might call the basis of HR technology. Actually, I've become really quite obsessed about, you know, how this challenge of delivering and sort of how to help multinationals do stuff, which is really quite complicated and difficult to do, and actually using technology to transform that. So I suppose the fact that I take a real interest in that, and it does fascinate me, not that I talk to my wife about it at the weekends, because you can see her eyes glaze over, but actually it's something that occupies a lot of my thoughts, I think also has helped me be, successful in my own world, because actually, you know, I do what I love. And I think that makes a huge difference to, when you're getting up in the morning. Certainly for me, I'm getting up in the morning, you know, it depends on where I'm traveling to. So I do have the opportunity to, you know, spend a lot of time in a wide range of different countries and cultures. And that's also, it's fascinating. You know, I was in China last week, in Beijing, and actually just so interesting to see, you know, we met with a wide range of global businesses, household recognized names doing business in China. But even though they were household recognized names, you know, they're doing things differently in the Chinese way, so to speak. So again, it's thinking about, well, how can we do, how can we help communicate messages to the people that work in those organizations? And then it's about having a happy home life. So having a great foundation from which to enable me to travel. Now, I would say with two young children, it's not always happy, but most of the time it is. And put it this way, my wife didn't look particularly happy when I announced that I would be leaving last Sunday to go to China, so thereby ruining half a day of a Sunday. But, you know, she got over it after a few days. So, if you don't have a happy home life, then I should imagine work becomes very, very difficult to manage indeed. So I'm very lucky in that regard too.
Yeah. And my last question would be, you know, as you said, you are traveling across the world and working with different companies, which is in different parts of the world. So you are working in, 6 to 8 time zones. Is that so? So how do you manage your time?
I tell you, I just sometimes, I completely lose. I've got, I have a phone now that has the world clock functionality on it that I use all the time, because I just get so confused when I'm trying to book meetings, you know. So I spend a lot of time in the US. We've got 3 time zones there. Then we do quite a lot in Europe where you've got 3 time zones. And then, you know, I was in China last week and they're 7 hours ahead of the UK. And I'm trying to think, well, where does that meet? Because we have a team in San Francisco as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what am I, 43? I'm 44 in 3 days' time. So I'm what you might call entering middle age, hopefully gracefully. But I don't know whether my brain's beginning to slow down. But, yeah, no, time zones I do find really, really difficult, I must say. And it's got to the point with me now where I don't really know whether it's jet lag anymore, because I don't necessarily – maybe I'm just permanently jet lagged. Well, that's what my wife is. Yeah.
Again, Chris, advance happy birthday, by the way. And again, thank you so much for being here with us today and putting up with the technological glitches as well. And I'm sure we have to schedule a show with you sometime sooner without any technological glitches. And
that's technology. But hey, look, Nisha, great to talk to you. And, I hope it's been interesting for you and those listening. And, I'm my name's all over the internet if anyone wants to ask me further questions as well. So, fantastic. Well, look, have a wonderful week, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
You too. Thank you. So that was Chris Wakely, and follow him on Twitter at Chris_Wakely. So that is Chris_Wakely. He is a senior VP enterprise account at Thomson's Online Benefits. Again, Chris, thank you so much for being here with us today. We will talk to you all tomorrow.
Bye.
Listen to